WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy Monday, Monday, Monday. What a show we have in store for you today. A lot to talk about, including the Detroit Lions as they, had an unofficial start to their season. Preseason football kicked off for them on Saturday as they tapped the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about what we saw in that game. We'll also talk about the Tigers, a 19-inning game yesterday. Can you believe that one? They ended up blowing a 5-0 lead. Oh, boy. We'll discuss that. Also, Rory McIlroy, what a just an unbelievable stretch of golf that he is playing right now. And today's hot-button topic that we are hitting on and asking you all to call in is, quote, accident or murder, the death of Kevin Ward Jr. Do you think that Tony Stewart hit? Do you think his hit was intentional? 517-355-9527. Man, oh, man, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that one. All of that and so much more. But, hey, as custom here on the show, here is Alex Shard with your current sports quick hit headliners.
Good afternoon and happy Monday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for Monday, August 11th. Led by a potent passing attack, the MSU football offense topped the defense 47-30 in the first jersey scrimmage of preseason camp on Saturday. The scrimmage utilized a modified scoring system and was 183 plays long, including special teams. It lasted 3 hours under partly cloudy skies and temperatures in the low 70s. The first half of the scrimmage was held at John and Becky Duffy practice field, while the second half took place in Spartan Stadium. Junior quarterback Connor Cook took a majority of the snaps with the first team offense and completed 16 of 24 passes for 214 yards, including a 42-yard touchdown to senior Keith Mumphrey on the first series. Michigan State returned to practice yesterday afternoon for its 10th workout of preseason camp. The Detroit Lions topped the Cleveland Browns 13-12 Saturday night in the first preseason football game. Johnny Manziel showed off some of his fancy footwork, and the Cleveland rookie looked sharp with his arm too in the preseason debut. He went 7 of 11 for 63 yards, completing one more pass than starting quarterback and former Spartan Brian Hoyer. Manziel also ran for 27 yards on 6 carries. Matthew Stafford led the Lions to a field goal on his only drive of the game, and star receiver Calvin Johnson did not play. The next preseason game for the Lions is Friday night against the Oakland Raiders. Jose Bautista's single in the 19th inning, yes, I said 19th inning, drove home the winning run as the Blue Jays rallied from a 5-0 deficit to beat the Detroit Tigers 6-5 on Sunday. Rick Porcello, who threw 110 pitches over 7 innings against the Yankees on Thursday, tossed a 30-pitch bullpen session Saturday and worked 2-plus innings as the Tigers used all 8 pitchers. At 6 hours and 37 minutes, it was the longest game by time in Blue Jays history, easily surpassing a 5-hour and 57-minute game against the Yankees in 2001. The Tigers begin a 4-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at 7:05 p.m. Rory McIlroy did it again and won the PGA Championship yesterday as the second career championship victory. He became only the fourth player in the past century to win 4 majors at 25 or younger. Not since Woods in 2008 has anyone won 3 straight tournaments, and they were big ones, the Open Championship, a World Golf Championship, and the PGA Championship. He played them in a combined 48 under par. Quote, he's better than everyone else right now, end quote, Phil Mickelson said. In some horrific NASCAR news, driver Tony Stewart hit and killed fellow driver Kevin Ward Jr., who was standing on the track during a race at Canada Igua Motorsports Park in upstate New York. Ward's car spun into the wall after making contact with Stewart's car. He climbed out to confront Stewart as he passed by and was struck by Stewart's car, which threw him several feet across the track. The driver was pronounced dead at the hospital at the age of 20. Stewart has been cooperative with authorities and reportedly feels very upset about the accident. A federal judge ruled Friday that NCAA limits on major college football and men's basketball players are violation of antitrust laws. The U.S. District Judge ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, led by former UCLA basketball player Ed O'Bannon, that prevents the NCAA from forcing rules or bylaws that prohibit athletes a limited share of revenues from names, images, and other generated revenues. In addition, she ruled in favor of a full grant in aid for athletes. This ruling comes days after the Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, and SEC all split into separate conferences with their own rules. The first set of rules cannot take place until 2016. Star Olympian Michael Phelps went winless at four U.S. national races over the weekend. In the 200, he was edged out by fellow American Ryan Lochte, who came off major knee surgery. However, he still qualified for Pan Pacific Championships later this month with his multiple second-place finishes. And finally, star female Little League pitcher Monet Davis led her team into the Little League World Series Sunday by throwing a three-hitter in the Philadelphia Little League to win 8-0. Davis struck out six in the sixth-inning game in the Mid-Atlantic Regional Championship game. The 13-year-old will become the 18th girl to play in the Little League World Series in 68 years. It starts Thursday in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for Monday, August 11th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Phone lines are wide open.
All right, thanks a lot, Alex. Man, oh man, was it a busy, busy weekend. How about Monet Davis? Did you catch any of her highlights, Alex?
Yeah, this girl
man,
is for real.
She can deal. I mean, she pitches an average fastball of 70 miles per hour. That's just, oh man, she is insane in the membrane. What a weekend for her.
Well, the best part about it is her fastball. She's throwing all overhand. This isn't under pitch
softball.
Yeah,
this isn't softball here. She is, you know, she's at risk of Tommy John surgery here, okay? Like, it's unbelievable watching her pitch over the weekend. That was unbelievable. Then watching Rory McIlroy just steadily become, now he's legitimately the face of golf right now. He is the best golfer in the world. Nobody is playing better than this man. I mean, just to see the distance that he is able to hit with off the tee, and to see how he's hitting with his irons. He's hitting clutch putts left and right. I mean, he's in a zone right now. And the biggest thing about it is he's so just cool. He's cooler than the other side of the pillow, as Stuart Scott would say. Just unbelievably laser-focused. It was fun watching that as well. And, you know, we saw some NFL action over the weekend. It was a great weekend, man. It was a great weekend. How was your weekend, though, Alex?
Great. You know, speaking of golf, I went golfing again. Got my second par ever.
You're ready for me, huh?
I'm coming. Not my first year golfing, really.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true.
Got my first set of clubs. Can't wait to get in some golfing segments. It's gonna be
be great. Well, you're trying to challenge me now.
Oh,
I see.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm very competitive, man. I hear you. I see your two pars, and I may raise you an outing this weekend.
All
so
right,
we'll see how that goes. But great. I actually went to Cedar Point. Remember the first time I went? Drove all the way to Ohio, and there was a water main break, and we couldn't go. But we went back, and man, oh man, we rode everything. We rode a total of seven rides. Probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Legitimately, the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. You know that slingshot ride? Have you seen
that? Know about it. Haven't been.
Well, you have like the, you know, you have two cords that are connected to a small little ball, and it flies you in the air over 350 feet. I went on that thing. Yeah, call me crazy. I went on it. It was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. I felt like I was Superman flying in the air, and you just hang in the air for like 2 minutes as the thing steadily brings you down 350 feet in the air. I mean, it scared me, but man, oh man, I'm a thrill seeker, and that was certainly a thrill adrenaline rush. So, man, fun weekend, though. Fun weekend, folks. But hey, we have a great show in store for you as we just kind of sum up the weekend. So much happened over the weekend. Our hot button topic that we are asking you all to call in and weigh in on has to do with, of course, oh boy, just a tragic story in the world of sports. As a young driver, I believe he's only 20 years old. His name is Kevin Ward Jr. He was, and I've seen the video now a thousand times, just kind of trying to pick it apart and just sort of give just from looking at the video, a somewhat educated opinion on this matter. But man, oh man, if you haven't seen the video, it's everywhere. It's really hard to watch because you see Kevin Ward Jr. He gets out of the car. And he's just tragically struck by Tony Stewart, who is a famous NASCAR driver. But Tony hits him, and, you know, not too long after, Kevin Ward Jr. was pronounced dead. Yeah, it's pretty serious, folks. Everybody's been talking about it, and, you know, many people weighing in on it because the history that Tony Stewart has in the world of NASCAR, he's known as a hothead. He is definitely known as a hothead. He's had multiple incidents of rage. And, you know, there's a lot of people playing detective right now, you know, kind of condemning him before all of the facts come out about this thing. This story is still in its infancy. There's still a lot of digging to do on it. But, you know, there's many people out there calling him. And I've even heard people go as far as to call him a murderer. It's pretty serious stuff. So, again, if you've seen it or heard about this story, we're asking you all to call in. It's our hot button topic today. Accident or murder. The death of Kevin Ward Jr., do you think the Tony Stewart hit was intentional? Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Folks, we'll also talk Tigers, Lions, the PGA Championship, and so much more here on the show. If you can't call in, you know you can go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I will read your comments live throughout this hour here on today's Current Sports. But I'm excited about our guests. Let's get to our guests for today's show because, you know, today marks, this is a special day for many around the state of Michigan and many across the nation in general because today marks the very first day that high school football officially opens practice. So many out there are hitting the gridiron. Many schools around the Mid-Michigan area are hitting the gridiron, you know, diving into the X and O's, coming up with schemes and try to chase a state championship this season. I can't believe football is already here. You kind of got a taste of it, a big taste of it this weekend as the Lions began their very first preseason game. But hey, high school sports are really about to start, folks, and it's always an exciting time around the area. And, you know, getting away from football really quickly, though, there was some news that broke not too long ago about a famed coach, high school coach throughout this area. His name is Carlton Valentine. Yeah, I'm sure that name rings a bell, folks. Carlton Valentine, if you followed the story last year, Carlton decided to retire, and he decided to retire basically to focus more on his family. You know, Denzel and Drew Valentine, of course, are a part of the MSU men's basketball team. He wanted to dedicate more time to going to Denzel's games, and of course, you know, he gets the best of both worlds in that because, of course, Drew is also a part of the team helping out. And he just, you know, you would see him in the stands of those who attended, you know, the multiple MSU men's basketball games. You would see Carlton in the stands. But, hey, some breaking news happened not too long ago, and it was released that, hey, Carlton Valentine will be returning as the head coach for the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. Yes, it's news that sent shockwaves throughout Mid-Michigan. Really surprising stuff and really exciting if you are a fan or do attend Lansing Sexton High School. That Lansing Sexton community, I'm certainly as excited to bring the man back. So you know what? He is here on today's show to talk about how this story happened and why he decided to come back. Carlton Valentine, how you doing, my man? Welcome to the show.
Al, how you doing, my man?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. I'm excited to have you on and to dive into how this whole thing ensued. First of all, Carlton, kind of take me back in time. You know, it wasn't that too long ago when you decided to come back. What made you come back? Give us the timeline.
Well, you know, I stepped aside last year, Al, because I felt like, you know, I needed some time to spend with my family. And, you know, I sat at Drew's graduation. Drew, of course, played 4 years at Oakland University. Mm-hmm. I felt like the time went so fast. I never got a chance to be a dad and to sit in the stands, watch the games. I was always ripping and running and getting to my games and doing that kind of thing. So I felt like I needed to take some time and, you know, sit back. And so last year what we did, man, my wife and I, we traveled around. We went to New York a couple of times, out to Spokane.
Nice.
Big Ten circuit. We sold, you know, to games. And we did a lot of that. So, you know, I felt like, you know, I had my time doing that. You know, I felt like, you know, I was good doing that, but, you know, my life wasn't fulfilled. I felt like I still had more to do in the coaching world. And it's just amazing because I was out with my AAU team out in Las Vegas, and I get back and I get a call on Wednesday, the Wednesday before I accepted a job from Dan Boken, who's now the AD. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I'd be interested in taking the job at Sexton. I said, well, you guys got a coach. He said, he's not going to be there anymore, but would you consider coming back? And I said, well, I got to talk to my family. That's how I love the coach. I love being in the game. I just got to see what's going to be okay with my family. You know, talk to both Denzel and my wife, you know, 23 years. And Denzel. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wife said, you got to do what makes me happy. And what makes me happy is being with the guys in the locker room, doing the game, you know, doing the practice, watching develop, being in the sport, being in the games. Those things are what makes me happy. So at the end of the day, I met with tennis. And
You know what, Carl? I hate to cut you off. I think you're kind of chopping up on us. I don't know if you can move around a little bit, get a better signal, but you're a little choppy right now.
Okay, how's that? That better?
Beautiful. Perfect.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. So I met with the superintendent of the Lancaster School District on that Friday,
mm-hmm.
along with Dan Brogans, who's the AD and football coach. And, you know, after a two-and-a-half-hour meeting, I decided that coming back to Sexton was in my best interest and in the interest, hopefully, of the kids and the young players at Sexton.
Wow. I tell you what, that's quite a story. Now, you know, when you told your family that you wanted to come back and it was definitely in your heart to do so, what was their reaction?
Well, the first thing, Drew and Denzel said no.
Right.
They said, Dad, what are you doing that for? You know, I told them, I said, I love to coach. I said, you go to practice every day. I said, Zill, you go to practice every day. You watch the film. You're doing the stuff you like to do. I said, Drew, you know, you're breaking film down. You're going to practice every day. You're doing the things you like to do. I said, I really enjoy supporting you guys, going to the game. But I like to do stuff, too. And at the end of the day, hello?
Yeah, you're still there. It's a little choppy, but we got you.
Okay, yeah. My family, they supported me, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to be back and try to give back to the Lansing community, Lansing section, and basketball in general.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the entire community is certainly buzzing about your return, and especially looking at the success that you were able to have before you left Lansing Sexton. Truly remarkable, Carlton. Now, looking at this whole timeline, because Ron Banks, this was his first year as head coach for Lansing Sexton. And there's many people wondering what exactly went down. Of course, you know, looking at the article when this first came out at the local media outlets, it seemed as though, you know, Ron Banks, you know, looking at the article, he didn't have his paperwork together. And you know, he argued that it was not a lot of politics involved. How much can you speak on what happened with Ron Banks and why was he let go, Carlton?
First of all, I think Ron's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there. You know, I don't really know. Quite honestly, what I did, I kept my distance from the program to give him a chance. You know what I mean? I didn't go to any practices. I didn't go to the game at Sexton last year because
mm-hmm.
I thought it would be unfair for me to be on top of him. And actually, I planned on not even coming back for a while to the coaching game in general. So I really can't speak to what happened in his situation because I wasn't there. I wasn't made privy to any of the information. Only thing I can speak to is, I got the call and I just responded to it.
Definitely. Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Today's Current Sports, we are now talking with the returning head coach of Lansing Sexton, boys basketball, Carlton Valentine. Now, Carlton, you know, looking at this team that you are now inheriting, what type of talent are you inheriting? I'm pretty sure you probably have you met with the team? Have you talked to them about your return? And what type of players can we expect? And what type of team can we expect? I know it's still early right now, but what type of talent are you inheriting with this team?
Well, I haven't talked to the team yet. I haven't met with them. You know, it's in the middle of the summer.
Right.
And so it's kind of hands-off time right now. But the one thing I know about the Sexton Big Reds is that them guys will compete, they will fight, they will scrap, and the dudes on the west side, they're tough.
Right.
And, this kind of reminds me of when I first took over in 2005-2006 season. I went into a situation not really knowing the players. I do know some of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can say about this is I know that they're going to be tough. The toughest thing for me is to get the buy-in, make sure everybody's going to buy in. When I say everybody, I mean the players, their families and the community and the people, everybody that influences kids. Because if you don't get the buy-in, it's going to be pretty tough.
That is so true. That's one of the number one messages, I'm sure, that will be hammered home this upcoming year. And, you know, looking at this article, again, this was reported from Graham Couch, who actually spoke to Ron Banks, of course, after he was let go by the program. And he had an interesting quote. Just bear with me real quick, Carlton. He had this to say in an article to wrap up things. Quote, "I guess they expected me to pick up the pieces where Carlton left off. Truth be told, I had nowhere near the talent he had when he was there. I don't have anyone going D1 off of that group. I had a bunch of football players for the most part. And being hired 2 weeks before the season started, it just wasn't a fair shake," end quote. Do you agree with that notion at all, Carlton?
Well, you know, I can't speak to Ron. You know what I mean? Those are his feelings, and, you know, his feelings are real to him. You know what I mean? The only thing I can speak to is when I get my basketball team, I'm going to approach them with the positivity that I always come in the gym with. I'm going to be the same old Coach B that I've always been. And hopefully, you know, we'll get the buy-in. You keep me, you keep hearing me say that word over and over again. But, you know, I do feel for Ron. I feel for any coach that has to go through a situation where they feel like they have not been done right. Because truth be told, you know, I was in a similar situation after my second season at Sexton, but I grew from it. I learned a lot, and every bad experience that I had, I turned it into a good one, you know, somewhat lemons into lemonade. So, you know, I really feel for him. I'm sure he's a good young coach, and he'll get his opportunity again.
Right.
And he'll make his mark in basketball in this area.
Gotta love that. Hey, Carlson, how great was the quality time you got to spend with Denzel, Drew, and the rest of your family last year? I remember, you know, seeing you at multiple games, smile on your face. I'm sure that was a great time. And what'd you learn about yourself during those times, man?
I learned that I'm not very patient, sitting in the stands.
Not at all, huh?
Well, you know, it's good being a dad, and it's good being supportive. I think I learned a lot that I need to be coaching. I think that's really what I learned the most about myself, that's what I miss the most. I do love my family. I love both my sons, my wife. My wife and I got closer because we got to travel a lot and do stuff together. We were in cars, man. that trip to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We got stuck almost for 2 hours in Chicago, bumping ground traffic.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, it was like supposed to be 6 hours. It was more like 8.5.
Oh, no.
My wife's yelling at me to drive fast, and I'm like, do you see that ice on the road, baby?
Right.
Ice on the road? I'm not speeding. So,
yeah.
You know, it was good to travel the Big Ten circuit, but I learned that, you know, I couldn't wait for my opportunity to get back to the game. So, that, you know, that's what I learned.
Oh, gotta love that, Carlson. Now, you know, looking at the success of your AAU team this summer. I mean, so the, you know, coaching that AAU team, it didn't really fulfill that coaching itch, so to speak, huh?
Well, you know, it did, but I always feel like, you know, I have more to give. In summer basketball, I mean, I've always done that or been a part of that for a lot of years. Even when I coached at Sexton previously, I always gave back in the summertime, and because in our game, basketball is year-round. You know what I mean? If you look at even the game in general, you know, you got USA basketball going on right now and different guys backing out and some guys playing. But, you know, if you want to be good at the game and good at the craft, you know, you're good at it year-round. So that's always been my thing, coaching AAU basketball in the summer, doing individual skill development. I mean, that's what I do all the time. Quite honestly, the success that we had over the years when I was at Sexton, that was a direct result of what we did in the summertime. It wasn't – people always see the wins and they see the state championships, but, you know, they don't see what you do behind the scenes. You know, when guys are getting up at 6 in the morning, getting the grind on with the ball handling, getting in the weight room, doing all those kind of things.
Right.
That's really where the hard work goes in. The success comes through when you actually play the games and win. But, no, we spend a lot of time in the lab, Al, a lot of time in the lab.
That's what it's all about, baby. Carlton Valentine, he is back, folks, head coach of the boys basketball team over at Lansing Sexton High School. And you know what? Actually, you know, looking at your AAU team, I believe Trevor Manuel, who, of course, played for Lansing Sexton and decided to transfer to Oak Hill, who has now returned to the area. Was he a part of that team as well, Carlton? Am I right?
Yep, Trevor was on that team. He played great this summer. He was probably one of the best players out on the AAU circuit. 6'9", maybe 6'10" now.
Right.
Plays a lot smarter. Really strong, plays everything above the rim. I mean, he averaged maybe 3 or 4 dunks a game, jump shot pretty good. I mean, he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah, without a doubt. Again, you say he's 6'9", maybe 6'10". I guess he grew a little bit, a 200-pound forward, you know, who went to Oak Hill, who is now back in the area. Now, when I was last covering this whole thing, he was trying to debate on which school he wanted to play for. Now with you returning at Lansing Sexton, do you think he's going to come back to play for you guys?
Not necessarily.
Gotcha.
You know, that's a decision for him and his father to make, and his mom, you know, his family. I wouldn't necessarily say he's coming back to Sexton. So, you know, whatever he does, you know, I really wish him well in his future endeavors. If he comes to Sexton, that'd be great, and I'd be so much happier to coach him again and help guide and direct his career.
Right.
But if not, you know, I wish him well in wherever he goes. Trevor's a good kid. And, you know, he's going to be good wherever he goes. He's going to make any team much better because he does a lot of different things. Offensively, at 6'9", 6'10", he can shoot the three. At 6'10", he's going to alter shots. He blocks a lot of shots, hangs around the basket. And then he finishes well at the rim. I mean, like I told you, he was dunking everything around the rim. And he's a little bit smarter now. So a lot more mature. I think it was good for him to get away from Oak Hill for a year. I think he grew up a little bit. And he's going to be a very, very tough player. Very, very tough player.
Have you talked to him at all about his decision and, you know, where he wants to go?
We talked early when he first came back.
Right.
And, you know, him and his dad, they're going to figure that out. They'll figure out what they want to do. I just, you know, hope and pray that he picks the right place for him. If Sexton is the place, cool. If not, you know, like I said, I wish Trevor the best. And but, you know, I haven't talked to him since we got back from Vegas about anything. You know, that's going to be up to him and his family. You don't want to be influencing kids on what to do. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Let them make the choice.
Yeah.
There you go. And I tell you what, you know, AAU basketball over the years, Carlton, has become, it seems as though it's just growing each and every year. I mean, so many scouts go out to these national tournaments. I'm pretty sure there were many scouts in Vegas when you took your team out there. I mean, just how big has AAU basketball become? And I got to ask you this, too, because this is an interesting question that we've definitely posed day in and day out here on the radio show, especially, you know, I don't know if you heard about the story with John Winkler being let go over at Fulton High School and the whole thing that went down with that. But, you know, it just kind of begs the question now. Stories like that and hot button stories like that in high school sports. I got to ask you, do you think high school sports have become too political in any way, Carlton?
High school sports is high school sports. You know what I mean? It's political anywhere and everywhere you go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody is going to want what's best for their kid. You know what I mean? And the people who are running the booster clubs and the people who are in charge, they're the people that want what's best for their kids. So when you say political, it's always been political that way. Probably even when I was in high school playing, I just didn't notice it.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? It's probably always been that way.
Yeah.
But getting to your point about AAU basketball, man, and I love AAU basketball. And the people who say they don't love AAU basketball, well, I mean, That's their opinion. I've been watching AAU basketball, coaching AAU basketball since my kids were younger. I mean, the players that I've seen over the years has been crazy. You know, I watched Lance Stevenson play against my son Drew. I saw Andre Drummond play against my son Denzel. I mean,
yeah.
The players that you see, John Wall, I mean, on the AAU circuit is just incredible. I mean, it's just if you're a fan of the game, and then the coaches that you'll see. I mean, you go to a tournament, you're going to see the Coach K's, you'll see the Izzo's, you'll see just every major college coach in the country, Roy Williams, Bill Self, John Beilein, I mean, you name it. You
right.
go to a, the AAU tournament and everybody out there because it's the major recruiting time. You know, you think about going to a high school basketball game during the regular season. How many college coaches are you going to see? Maybe one, maybe two, well, maybe zero.
Exactly,
because,
yeah.
Because they're playing at that time. But you come in July, and they're not playing. So they have a chance to get out and watch kids play. And believe it or not, man, it does a lot for kids, and it does a lot for the game of basketball in July. Just watching AAU basketball, I'm telling you, it's an incredible sight if you've never seen it before.
Carlson, before I let you go, what do you enjoy coaching more, high school or AAU?
Both. The answer is both.
Gotcha.
Because they're both different. In the summertime, you get to coach kids that are not on your high school team, so you get to build relationships with those kids. And on your high school team, you get to develop relationships that you got with those kids. And those are more long-lasting because you have those kids more consistently over the years. And I really enjoy both, so I would not pick one over the other.
All right, Carlton. Carlton Valentine, again, how do you start developing this team? Again, most of the summer is now gone. You know, you still got a few months to prep. How do you start putting the pieces together to see exactly where this team is, Carlton?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of that way when I first got the job at Sexton. I didn't get the job until October. So I went in and I started doing, two-man workouts, three-man workouts. And now the MHSA rule says you can four-man workouts during specific times. So I'm going to start with that. We'll have a couple team meetings, and we'll break it down. We'll do some two-man, three-man, four-man workouts, and we'll go from there. But, you know, inch by inch, lots of cents, yard by yard, it's really hard. So I'm going to do mine inch by inch. You know, I know I'm realistic about where this team is and where this program is, and, you know, we'll take it inch by inch. You know, you don't win a basketball championship in 1 year. It don't happen that way. It just don't happen. It took me a long time before I even got out of the district final. Jeez.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's a grind, yeah.
It takes time, and you got to be patient, and you got to be realistic. If you're patient and realistic and you keep working, good things will happen. And once again, the key word is buying in. You know what I mean? Having people that will trust you and trust, that you know what's best for their kids.
There you have it. He's back, folks. Head coach of the Lansing Sexton boys basketball team. Carlton Valentine, I'm excited to see you back on the sidelines, brother. I'm excited, man. Good stuff.
Well, Al, hey, thanks for having me on your show. You know, I always appreciate you, man. And I'll still be at the state games, man. I'll be at as many home games as I can be. And if I can make a road game or two, you'll see me out there because I'll be I'm going out to the first game out in Annapolis.
Nice.
And then I'll be heading down for a couple games down in Orlando before we get started. So, I'll be on the road a little bit. And then once we get going with Sexton, man, I'm full blown with the Big Reds, man.
All right, there we go. Well, I'll be seeing you everywhere, man. You're like Superman. You're everywhere, Carlton.
Oh, man. Hey, I want to be Superman like you, man. You the guy.
We're both the man, all right? Let's end it right there. All right, Carlton Valentine, again, head basketball coach of the Lansing Sexton Big Rebs. All right, well, let's hit the break. We have a ton to get to still, folks. There's so little time to do it. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we talk about, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Thriller. Gotta love that. Thanks a lot, Alex Sharg, on this Monday. Martis Monday is what we call it here on Current Sports, where we play music from a particular artist. But the catch is, that artist's name must start with the letter M, of course. Come on. I mean, everybody knows this. It's Michael Jackson Monday today, okay? Oh, boy, you know, that's a legend. When they make the Michael Jackson movie, it has to be superb. It has to be the greatest movie of all time, in my opinion. That's my favorite artist of all time. Saw James Brown over the weekend. Great movie, fantastic movie. Chadwick Boseman, I think, is the guy who plays him. He did an unbelievable job. Good stuff there. But how about Carlton Valentine? He's returning to the sidelines, Alex. That was a very enlightening interview as he kind of broke down everything.
It was, and the fact that he could still go to games and still work around his schedule, that's the most important thing.
He's everywhere. I tell you, he's one of the most hard and working men in Michigan high school hoops. I tell you, man, it's Carlton Valentine for you. All right, well, continuing on with the show here, folks. We want you all to call in. It's our hot topic today that we're asking you to call in on. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are talking about the death of Kevin Ward Jr. If you were following the racing action over the weekend or just following sports over the weekend, many of you know that Kevin Ward Jr., he's a 20-year-old racer who sadly passed away due to a hit. He was hit by another car, Tony Stewart's car. Tony Stewart, a famed name in the world of NASCAR. Tony Stewart hit Kevin Ward Jr., and not too long ago after that, he was pronounced dead. Accident or murder? That's the question we're asking out there. It's so many vast array opinions on this topic. I've watched the video many times just trying to pick it apart and sort of collect my thoughts on this controversial issue at hand here, because there are some out there who believe that it was done intentionally. There's many out there who believe that, you know, it was just an accident. He didn't see him and he just, you know, just happened to hit him. So interesting story to say the least. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And let's dive right into it, Alex. I'm pretty sure you've seen the video as well. Actually, YouTubed it over the weekend, watched it again this morning, just trying to collect my thoughts on how I wanted to attack this this topic. And, you know, first of all, I have to say this. The culture of racing has been known to allow drivers to, you know, during certain moments of the race, whether it be due to anger or whether it be to just some sort of controversy. We've seen many, many racers over time in the middle of a race leave their car and start to just lose their minds, you know, because they're upset at something. How many times have we seen a racer driving? He may get clipped in the back and hit the wall, gets out, starts pointing fingers at the cars driving by. It's very, very, very dangerous. And I'm shocked that NASCAR in the world of racing, because it doesn't happen in like IndyCar racing or any other form of racing, but in NASCAR, you see it a lot. And I'm surprised that NASCAR, first of all, hadn't cracked down on this sooner. And I'm sure you're definitely going to see some type of punishment happen for drivers who do leave their car in the middle of a race. And because you got these cars flying by at you, you know, speeds in the triple digits. First of all, that's right there. Kevin Ward Jr., because he was clipped behind. He got angry, got out of his car, and he went on one of those tyrants. You know, he just started pointing his finger at different cars rolling by. And, okay, so that's the first one I want to get off my chest. The culture of leaving your car in NASCAR, it was bound to happen sooner or later. Something like this was bound to happen sooner or later. Second point I definitely want to prelude this conversation with is the history of Tony Stewart. And this is one of the main reasons why many people out there are condemning Tony Stewart and feel as though, you know, he did this on purpose. The history of Tony Stewart is not squeaky clean, Alex. Tony Stewart is known for being a hothead, known for, you know, being in countless scuffles and fights and saying controversial things. He's known, you know, for needing anger management classes, so to speak. So that's eclipsed with what ensued over the weekend. It paints Tony off the bat. Looking at Tony's history, it paints him off the bat as the automatic bad guy here. Now, I will say this. I'm not condemning Tony Stewart right now just yet. Just because looking at that video, and I watched it multiple times, just trying to see if there's anything I can pick apart to victimize, you know, Tony Stewart for his actions, or to say this is just an accident. For me right now, just looking at the video and looking at what we know just right now, I don't know enough to condemn Tony Stewart just yet. I will say this, though. Even though Tony Stewart has been known to be a hothead in the world of NASCAR, he didn't mean to kill this kid. he's not that type of guy. He maybe, now I can't see, maybe, you know, Tony wanted to send a message to this kid, you know, to say, okay, you're out here causing this whole tirade. I'm about to, you know, I'm about to get close to you, maybe swerve off the way at last minute. Maybe he tried to do that. I don't know. Maybe he tried to do that and it backfired on him. You know, they were racing on dirt as well. And he just happened to slid and, you know, caught Kevin on his back tire and rolled over him. Oh, man, it's such a gruesome injury, man. But, you know, maybe he wanted to send a message. I could see that. I could see that because the car in front of Tony swerved on him last minute. It doesn't help that. If you look at that video, another problem I have is that the track was dimly lit. And it was so hard to see. It seemed so hard to see out there in the first place. And then you had the fact that Kevin Ward Jr., he was wearing all black. So that doesn't help as far as your vision goes. So those things, I'm sure, will be a factor if this thing does go to court here. But, you know, I could see a various amounts of scenarios here. But I am not condemning Tony Stewart just yet, just because I don't know the full facts of this thing just yet. There's so much more to come out, Alex.
Agreed. Yeah, and as my prelude, I agree. It's very early to condemn him and call him a murderer and all the things.
And you have a lot of people
media.
Doing that right now, yeah.
But I agree. Let's talk about the hit first.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it was on a dirt track. The driver inside kind of swerved on them last minute, and maybe Tony clipped them in the back. Maybe he was unintentional.
Yeah, he caught him with his back right tire.
Maybe he was doing it to, you know, cause a little stir. But the fact that it was his back right tire. I mean, obviously, if you're hitting someone purposely, you're going to hit him with the front. You're aiming for him. There's no way that it just to start, that he intentionally hit him with the back tire.
Right, right. And that's the thing. You know, I could see with Tony, with this situation, you know, maybe he wanted to send a message to Kevin that, okay, all right, kid, you're a young kid. You haven't earned your stripes in this sport just yet. You have no right to be yelling at different drivers and so on and so forth. Maybe, you know, he wanted to send a message, get a little close to him, and then swerve out the way. I could see that. I could see that. And, you know, he didn't mean to hit the kid. Maybe he meant to send a message to him by getting a little close to him. We have a caller right now. You said Edward, right? Edward is on line one. Edward, how are you doing, my man? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Al. This thing is bound to happen. They don't have any reflective things on. It's at night. And I just wanted to comment. Right now, Dick Estelle is reading a history of early car racing on the radio reader in the morning at 8:30 on your station.
Right.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I was not.
It's about Eddie Rickenbacker and the beginning of road racing and track racing in the United States in the early 1900s.
Okay.
And if you go forward, these things have been happening forever.
Yeah.
The safety has never been part of what it's about. It's about winning. It's about winning money. It's about competition. Many people have died over the years. It's going to continue to happen. It's what it's about.
And it blows my mind because, you know, this I haven't seen, and I'm not by no means a big racing fanatic here, but I haven't seen a story get this much press, you know, because you just said it. I mean, it's happened before where racers, I don't know if any fatalities have happened in the past with something like this.
Man, fatalities have happened forever. This is what I'm telling you. It's
right.
Today's media that's blowing it up. If you would read the book that Dick Estelle is reading right now, you will understand that this will happen. It's going to happen. It's just like football. It's a violent sport.
Right. And another part to this, though, Edward, has it happened with a racer this big, though? I mean, we're talking about Tony Stewart here. He's been a household name.
Right now it is, but back then they were household names.
Mm-hmm.
They were the biggest thing going between auto racing and Daredevil Pilot. Same thing, man. It's just a matter. It's just the times, man.
Right.
You go back 100 years from this year, you will see the same thing.
Thanks a lot, and we appreciate the insight, my man.
So, you know, there's nothing to be, you know, getting totally upset about because the racing organizations, they know it. It's in their history, man.
Right, definitely.
It's about the money. It's about getting coverage on media. It's about getting the advertising. The life is expendable.
Gotcha. Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Edward. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you know, he brings up a good point. I mean, like, you know, looking at the history of these type of accidents, Alex, again, I this is the first time I've seen a driver of this stature. And just in today's society here, you know, you talk about a Tony Stewart here involved in this situation like this. A young driver, Kevin Ward Jr., gets hit, you know, passes away. And you know, it's a really, really touchy topic because, again, this has been a part of the culture of NASCAR and racing in general for a long, 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 long time. And you would think, I mean, you know, somebody who leaves their car in the middle of a race and you have drivers going up to speeds of over 100 miles per hour passing you and you're getting close to those cars, you would think to protect the integrity and safety of the game, of the sport, you would think NASCAR would hand down some hefty fines. I think this could be, and looking at, you know, as Edward talked about, the amount of media coverage this story is getting, I think NASCAR is going to be pressured to now start handing down fines and really dig into the pocketbooks of those who decide to be, you know, He-Man and leave their car during a race.
Yes, certainly. And going back to the hit, aside from just leaving the car, like you said, not only did he leave the car and come out, you know, towards the speedway, but he came out and stood right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the speedway. So there's only room for an inside car, maybe an outside car, maybe. And aside from that, with his car standing there on the far wall, there really isn't much room, especially on a dirt track. I mean, this isn't like you're not Daytona here with a huge track. This is a smaller dirt track. And the cars are way bigger. I mean, these weren't the regular NASCARs, as you saw from the video.
Right.
So the fact that it was his back right tire, Tony Stewart kept driving. It's not like he stopped the moment it happened. I mean, he kept going. Kept driving. I don't think he realized even what happened, to be honest with you.
Right.
Now, like we said at the beginning.
You don't think this was intentional?
Well, no. Like we said at the beginning, it's not enough to rule him a murderer.
Right.
Maybe it was a little intentional. Maybe he did try to scare him a little bit. But right now, there's just not enough evidence to make any conclusion, like you said.
You can't condemn the man just yet.
And like you said, I mean, this is getting blown up media coverage-wise. This is as big as like when OJ was on the run.
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, it's pretty big.
I don't know.
I wouldn't go. It was bigger than OJ, Alex. I mean, because OJ, you had the Bronco in the car chase, and you had CNN and everybody. Well, CNN has covered this, too. There's a lot of national media coverage on this. But not like OJ. I mean, and then the whole trial with OJ.
They're going to be at Tony Stewart's house, you know, that when he first agreed to come back.
Yeah.
And he's not.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, it's definitely going to
be
crazy.
Maybe that was a little. I'm going to say this is as big as when Tiger Woods got in his car accident.
Okay, with his girl.
His house. Yeah. You know, I think it was just as big as the Tiger.
Yeah,
the Tiger
it's pretty big. It's pretty big. And, you know, it's just sad that we're seeing a young driver with a promising future in Kevin Ward Jr. We've seen just too many young people in the board. And you know, not to you know, I got to put in context because another thing, there's so many things happening around this world. I mean, you got wars going on right now.
How about Iraqi genocide? Yeah, that's not even brought up because of the whole Gaza conflict.
Right. You got people in third world countries just starving to death right now. I mean, people are dying every single day. And, you know, but you know, again, just to put this in context, though, it's just sad that something like this has to happen in the world of sports, you know, that I think could have definitely been prevented years and years down the line that would have, you know, made Kevin Ward think twice about getting out of that car. So
now here's what I can say about Kevin Ward in this whole case. This isn't going to be an investigation. They find out something, they charge him. And then, I mean, this is going to take several months, if not years, to decide if Tony Stewart was in fact guilty and in fact intentionally tried to kill Ward. I mean, the amount of evidence and the history that goes into this, I mean,
There's going to be
forensicologists. There's going to be racing experts.
That's the thing with Tony. I mean, his history weighs in so much with this for a lot of people because he's known as the guy to lose his mind and to pick a fight with people. So
I mean, he threw helmets at Matt Kenseth's car. He said he might want to run over a guy before.
Right. I mean, he's done and said some things that you just look like, okay, this dude needs some help. You know, and you know that history is fact. You can't argue with that history. So a situation like this is why many people can see him trying to maybe intentionally scare this young man by, you know, getting close to him, not hitting him. I don't think his intent was to hit him, but being on a dirt track, I mean, you can lose control easily of your car and boom, something like that happens. You know, well, we'll see. This is going to be an interesting story. Again, if you want to weigh in just like Edward just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet us at AlMartinWKR. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and leave us a comment there. I will read your comment right here on Current Sports Radio. Well, Alex, we have about 10 minutes left. How about those Tigers, huh? I keep saying it. They've now lost 5 of their last 7 games. They didn't look great this entire series. It goes 19 innings last night. And it just the bet. And I want to read some stats for you. Now, again, I'm not losing my mind here. We still got about a quarter left in the season for the Detroit Tigers. But reading some alarming numbers, just on the last 7 days here, the last few games, including this series, there are so many of the Tiger bats that have gone completely silent, dead cold. Again, this is how the Tigers bats have been hitting. Just listen, Alex. Silent. Nothing. They're hitting nothing right now. Nothing at all. Look at the numbers here. Just to read some numbers. The last 7 days, Alex Avila is batting 158. Rajai Davis, 156. JD Martinez, 154. And we're talking about how hot he was at the beginning of the year. Miguel Cabrera, 148. I mean, I could go on and on and on here. There's only one player batting over 300. Guess who it is? You can pretty much guess.
Alex Avila.
No.
No?
Victor Martinez, V-Mart. That is the only Tiger right now hitting over 300. Well, I correct that. Ian Kinsler is also hitting over 300. So that's it, though. That is it for the Tigers. I mean, again, I'm not losing my mind here. But I got to ask you, at what point do you start to panic?
I think it's now. And I've been a big proponent of you pushing the panic button, the 9.7 on the Richter scale, going day by day.
Right.
But look, here's what it comes down to, Al. You acquire Joaquin Soria on the disabled list. You acquire David Price. You have 5 unbelievable pitchers.
Right.
One of your pitchers goes on the disabled list. You use every pitcher in the game yesterday over 19 innings. And
yeah, you had to.
I could have flown to Paris.
Yeah.
By the time that game was over.
You had to, yeah.
So you look at yesterday's pitching by itself. Now you have no relief pitching probably available for tonight's game against Pittsburgh. This is the first game that the Tigers are going to have to trust Justin Verlander to come out strong and pitch 7-8 innings at least.
Right, right.
So they're half game up.
And that's it.
They have two of their best players on the same list.
We were talking a few weeks ago. The Tigers had a comfortable lead in the AL Central. So you're telling me just to make this clear, your panic meter is pretty up.
I think
there
it's up.
What
now
would you give it out of 10? You know I'm big on panic meters.
Probably about an 8.
It's an 8. That's big for you.
Al, you have one of your big acquisitions on the disabled list. You have 4 pitchers available.
I agree.
You're going to have to call someone up from AAA, but no, remember, they just traded away.
Right.
They just traded away their pitching.
I agree with you.
You have no help as a 5th starter. It's crucial. You're in the last half of the season, last quarter even.
Yep.
So, for me, the panic button is way up.
And 8 for you is like a 9.5 for me. It's up there for me, too. It's around a 9.3, 4,
but
something
think
like
about
that.
It.
But, yeah.
In tonight's game, Justin Verlander has to pitch at least 7 innings.
Yeah. And, you know, if you watch yesterday's game, David Price wasn't great. You know, you had Blaine Hardy. He gave the Tigers 3 innings of scoreless relief and extras. They start off really hot. They had a good lead. And they were really high. They scored 5 runs over the first 4 innings, then failed to score another run over the next 15. I mean, that's alarming for me. They got to wake up here. I mean, it's just about cold bets. I mean, Rajai Davis, he goes 0-for-8 with a walk. Miguel Cabrera, he had to snap an 0-for-14 hitless streak with a single in the first inning. I mean, it's unbelievable, the numbers. And I just don't know. I'm not confident that when the playoffs hit, you can get consistent hitting game to game to game. I do think, though, I will say the Tigers will still win the division, though.
You still think they're going to win?
I still think.
You're the one that said they wouldn't even go on the World Series.
But this division is not hard to win. I mean, they've been holding this down after going 9-for-20, for goodness sake. I mean, this is just a chink in the armor, certainly. But they'll be fine. They'll win the division. They'll pull it out. Now, when the playoffs come, that's going to be a different story that we're going to have to evaluate when that comes. But right now, it's a little wary for me, man.
Now, you brought up the offense at the beginning, and You said V-Mart and Kinsler are hitting over 300 or just in the last 7 days?
Last seven days.
What's Alex Avila hitting?
Alex Avila is, if I can, come on, internet. Alex Avila is hitting 158.
Okay. Well,
158.
He did had some pretty big hits and won a few games for them. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
For him, I'd say he's, aside from his average alone, I'd say he's playing considerably
well.
Oh,
hold on. I just refreshed this. Hold on. Ezekiel Carrera is 333 and Victor Martinez is 333. Ian Kinsler is 286. I'm sorry. He's just on the fringe of 300.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
so only two Tigers.
Is the offense that big of a concern for you now, aside from
yes,
pitching?
Yes, it's huge. It's a huge concern for me.
What about slumps? You don't think that everyone goes through
slumps? Well, we've seen the Tigers.
We haven't seen the offense hitting this will ever.
We've seen so many slumps throughout the Tigers season. It's been a constant hindrance. I mean, there's been very few times where we've seen the Tigers put together a solid series of just smash mouth hitting. You can go into remember the Colorado Rockies, but they're playing. The Colorado Rockies is one of the worst teams in MLB, so I'm not surprised with that. But there's been very few instances where the Tigers are just rolling. And, towards the end of the season, we've really started to see that become more and more alarming. So, again, folks, 517-355-9527, about 4 minutes left. If you want to go on Facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me out, MartinWKR. So much to talk about. Again, the Lions topping the Browns. How about the Lions? Any takeaways from that game, even though, again, it is a preseason
yep.
game?
My biggest takeaway is stop everything about Kellen Moore taking over for Stafford, please. You mean he had great stats. It was against a second string.
Right.
It's his
right.
foot. A couple of years in the
I've
league.
I've heard that too.
Come
yeah.
on. I can't believe people are even talking about this right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Kellen Moore, he looked okay, you know, when he came in. Matthew Stafford, again, him and the starting offense, what they played only one drive the entire game.
You're playing the Cleveland Browns second string
right,
defense.
Exactly. Come
the
on.
The Cleveland Browns second string defense.
Take this thing with a bucket of salt. Not a pinch of salt, a bucket of salt, because there's only so many conclusions you can draw. I thought Johnny Football looked pretty focused. He looked very calm, cool, calm and collected. The big lights in the target on his back did not make him shrink into a little ball. He rose to the occasion, I thought.
He did have that nice run down the right sideline,
yeah,
if you remember that. Slid
right.
and get tackled. Nice. He's looking good. I'm sure it will get better with time. But I want to see him against, you know, the big oldies of the Lions. We didn't see him when Ndamukong Suh was still in the middle.
Right.
That
exactly.
was my big thing on Mansell.
Yeah. And another thing, people, okay, I know the drops were a glaring thing for guys like Reggie Bush, Kevin Ogletree had some drops again last year. But, you know, if you look at it, Reggie Bush and Kevin Ogletree, they had drops on easy catches as well on Saturday. And then you start people, I look on my Twitter and everybody's like, oh, here we go again. Deja vu from last year.
Come on.
They
won
guys.
The game.
It's a,
they
it's
won
a,
the game even.
It's a preseason NFL game. The more so, I mean, you got the second and third string. They're trying to make a roster here. They're not going out there trying to take each other heads off. I mean, come on. I just don't get it. People put too much weight onto it. I guess tomorrow we'll get to Rory. Rory
yeah.
McIlroy. Oh,
I was close with Phil. Remember I called Phil last week?
You did? You were very close. Phil Mickelson, man, he definitely was nipping at the heels of Rory as that tournament went down to the wire yesterday.
Yeah.
It was exciting to watch, you know, Rory. Did you see that 30-foot par?
The eagle?
I'm talking about the par that Phil Mickelson hit.
Oh.
I saw the eagle. The eagle was beautiful from Rory. But
yep.
the eagle to save par. For Phil Mickelson to keep him in contention, I mean, that was so clutch.
Right.
And, you know, looking at the numbers, too, something I want to allude to before we get to that tomorrow, the ratings came out for this PGA Championship, and the ratings for this year's PGA Championship were up 36% from last year. That's you got to be encouraged if you're the PGA. And, you know, it helped. It helped that guys like Phil Mickelson, Stinson, Ricky Fowler, Jim Furyk, Ernie Els. It helped that those guys were also in contention.
It helped that Tiger was back, Al.
No, Tiger missed a cut, though, man.
Yeah, but he still played the first two rounds.
Yeah, but then he went, you know.
We have to find out what the ratings include, because it could be the first two rounds, the whole four.
I think it included all four. But it helped that, you know, big names like Phil and Stinson and Fowler were still in contention. So, exciting stuff. So, we'll dive into that tomorrow.
Yeah, too much to talk about.
So today. Much. You know how the weekend is. It's crazy, folks. All right. Well, again, thanks a lot to Carlton Valentine, who has returned to coach the Lansing Sexton Big Reds boys basketball team. Thanks a lot, Carlton, for joining me today. Again, you've been listening to Current Sports with Alan Martin on WKR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week. And, hey, be easy, people.